Welcome to the Smith and Rowland Show. Let's join our host, Alan Smith and Jeff Rowland.
If you're just now joining us, make sure you head on over to the KingdomPropheticSociety.org and hit the join button. Mm-hmm. And make sure you join in the conversation over there.
Amen.
It'll be good. And we do have our special guest with us today, Mr. Terry Estes.
Yeah, Terry Estes. And I wanted to say hello to Fritz and Carolyn, who is joining us live right here in the studio. And these are our precious people. Yeah, Carolyn and Fritz are here, and Connie's here, Ed's here, Mark's here. Next week, we're going to be worshiping here. There's going to be music. Get a cup of coffee and then stick around for the podcast.
Next week, we're going to have a special guest, Stephen List.
Stephen List. Yeah. That's right. I'm excited about having him.
Okay, go on with this Rob Bullock
the
thing.
I've been in Revelation 4:1 for so long.
Uh-huh. There are more verses, you know.
I know. Okay, I'm stuck. Because it represents so much. There's a God encounter happening in Revelation 4:1. And there's a purpose behind the encounter. Mm-hmm. Me and Terry was talking about this a minute ago. I've got to the place in my life where everything that happens, I start looking for purpose in it. There's got to be purpose in it. And Revelation 4:1, where Jesus says to John, come up here, be with me. I want you, in this present moment, I want mm-hmm. you to be with me where I am. And then Jesus tells John what the purpose is, because I want to show you some things. Mm-hmm. You know, then in Revelation 6, where you have the horseman, here's what's said, come and see. Mm-hmm. And John said, I saw. And it's as a result of Revelation 4:1. Mm-hmm. Well, in talking about a God encounter, I can't help but notice this. And, you know, maybe you guys can, I hope you have a different perspective. But a lot of places where the people of God are congregating, there's just absolutely no life. Mm-hmm. And you can look in their eyes and there's no life. You can't get hardly a grunt out of people, much less an amen, or in some way an expression of praise to the Lord. Just seems to be so hard. And so then when I heard Robin Bullock made mention of this verse, and when he did, it just struck me. And he shall speak. This is talking about the Antichrist, which we know the mystery of iniquity is already at work. The spirit of the Antichrist is here working now. Mm-hmm. It says, and he'll speak great words against the Most High. We've never experienced a time like we're experiencing now where there is so much philosophical verbalizing against God.
Mm-hmm. As a person.
Yes, absolutely.
Not just an idea.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. They attack God. They're even attacking God's character while denying there is a God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is insane.
I mean, that's pretty crafty.
Well, you know, you can attack the God of the Bible, but you have to acknowledge there's a God of the Bible in order to do that. Mm-hmm. But we're living in a time where people are speaking words against God.
Against the Most High.
Yeah, at a higher level than any time before. Mm-hmm. And the consequence of that is it wears out the saints. Mm. It just wears out the saints. Mm. And so that's kind of where I spent time this morning talking about that. And then you can also attribute in that same verse, when the saints are wore out, then the Antichrist seeks to change times and laws, mm-hmm. it says. So you have a representation there of culture and of government. And that's, we're living through that. We're seeing that happen. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder if strategically God is not reviving his saints in the middle of that.
Yes.
To rise up against that. And I think, I can't help but think that's what's going on. Never in the history of my life have we seen culture changed in our country as rapidly as what it has in the last couple of years.
And dramatically.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I believe that there is a strategic element to this to come against revival mm-hmm. and to come against the people of God. There is a strategic element from Satan. We have... In this verse, I think a warning. that we can expect more of people speaking against God mm-hmm. and people speaking against the God of the Bible and the ways of God, the character of God. It's not enough anymore to attack the character of people. They're attacking the character of God.
Do you not think also that there is, as the world attacks God and his character with words, and we know it's a spiritual battle, we can try to, the one of the greatest rebukes I personally had from God was back when I was given just a few months to live, and asked the Lord to, I want to meet him as clean as I could. And one of the things that he said to me was, who are you to defend me? Mm-hmm. In other words, I was living my
life.
He's
a big boy.
Yeah, God's a big boy. He can handle himself. What it was, the enemy tears down the cult, who God is. Well, do we counteract that by saying, no, you're a liar. Here's what God is. Or do we live a life that's full of the presence and the power of God, which tends to nullify. Matter of fact, it doesn't make any difference. It'll nullify in that light. In other words, there's a spiritual light. I'm not saying that we're not to use words. Don't get me wrong. But I am saying to use words without the presence of God in our words.
Oh, it's dangerous.
You're just in a battle of
but
words.
But I'll say this. Here's what I believe about that. If you look at what's happening like at Asbury and in other college campuses and stuff, here's what I believe. When people bring testimony against God, I don't think that we have to defend God in an apologetic sense, but I do believe we overcome the enemy by the mm-hmm. word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. And I think bringing testimony to the miracle working power of God, I think is what's called for in this day. I think that's why we see young people getting up and say, I just want to brag on Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to brag on Jesus, and I'm going to brag on what he's done for mm-hmm. me, what he's done, what he's doing in my life.
And that was the Jesus Revolution movie.
Yes, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, let me tell you an aspect of this that I believe is a revelation that God, whenever I had my brother came down from Illinois and met me at Asbury, and we were there for 3 days together. Then he left and went back, actually a day ahead of me. And while I was driving back, you know, I called him and we were talking and we were kind of, you know, trying to break down what did we see and what do you think? And it, at some point in our conversation, he asked this question. He said, what do you think it meant? What do you think it means when it says they were of one mind and one accord? And this wasn't, he didn't have an answer. He wasn't trying to prompt me.
Yeah.
It was an honest question. And so we began to kind of toss that, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, Jesus says, if any two of you agree on anything that's touching the earth, it'll be done. Well, think about just how hard it is just to agree with your wife on something. You know, but just to, and so we started talking about that and think about it. And I believe this will be a key to us. I believe this is something that we can actually do to hasten the time.
Yeah.
That was, somebody was talking about that this morning, whether that was you or I don't remember. Somebody was talking about what can we do to hasten the time? Steve was.
Yes.
Steve brought that up. And as we talked about that, you know, how were they, there were 70 people of one mind and one accord, you know, and then like Steve said, how do you anticipate somebody that you've never seen? Mm-hmm. You know, they were anticipating the Holy Spirit, but they'd never seen the Holy Spirit, didn't know what that was. And as Marion and I were talking about this, I think that what they were, how they were in one accord was they didn't know what they were going to look for. These are guys that had been terribly, terribly disappointed 40 days before.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. Terribly disappointed and disillusioned.
Yeah.
Which Robert always said, disillusion is good. Because you've come to the end of an illusion. And And, you know, as I look at all of these, you know, criticisms of Asbury and criticisms of the Jesus, you know, isn't that where somebody's saying, well, I expected
something totally different.
I expected something different. Yeah. And if we could all just agree that, you know, God's big enough to just do anything.
Yeah.
Brand new.
Yeah, boy.
And we don't have any idea what it's going to look like. But, Lord, just do it. Just do whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. You know, I totally agree.
I heard one famous preacher say this past week. He was asked about the Asbury revival this past. And he said it couldn't have been a real revival because they never did preach a word. And I thought, now this is a famous preacher in his 80s. And I thought, what do you do with that? And where do you start? It's not a move of God. Mm-hmm. It never had anybody stood up and preach the word. So how could it be a move of God?
Yeah.
And of course I understand the, his criticism of what he is saying, but I'll tell you where I get in trouble. And I think this preacher is in trouble too. It's really hard to be an expert on something you're not experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we want to be, and we think we are. Actually, humans are the smartest at their height of dumbness.
That's exactly right. And a child shall lead them.
I'm telling you what's
true. And I just want to say, in terms of what you are talking about there, one of the things that I think creates this expecting God to move in our box kind of thing is that we think that we're right about everything and that it's got to be done our way. And every time God shows up, it's never been my way.
Right.
It has never been my way.
Right.
Well, if we come overcome the evil one by the power of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, the testimony is telling about what God's word's done in our life, but a testimony is giving an actual story of what God did to me, or did in my heart, or did in my life. And I, son of a gun, a good heartfelt testimony will absolutely move mountains.
It is the truth. Even when you would do something that someone would consider wrong, God was blessing it.
Mm-hmm.
That was at least the way it appeared to me. And because if anything could be done wrong, I did it. If it could be messed up, I messed it up, you know. But
I'm a witness to that, Terry. I'm a witness to this. If you start lying, I'll stop you.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
If it could be messed up, I messed it up. But God still supernaturally intervened. And I got to say, when we start putting expectations to a move of God that it has to be manifested in a certain way.
In a certain way.
When we do that, I think we've crossed the line. And I think we enter into criticism more than we do participation.
Well, we get our most critical in what we haven't experienced. In other words, all of a sudden we're an expert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When God sets down, though, God does it his way. And I think that's what we're looking for.
Well, one thing, it has to be that way because, like, Jeff, there, what he did, he released you to operate in your gift. Well, this is releasing people to fly airplanes that don't even have a license. Do what God puts you, you know, he releases.
If God puts it on you,
do it. Yeah.
And the thing that I did, this is true. I learned that I think God gets a kick out of the sincerity of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's not waiting on everybody to get it right because his ways are above our ways and are past finding out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not waiting for us to get it right. And I don't think there is no...
He just wants us to get it.
Yeah, there's no formula to get there other than a sincere heart that's just broken and desperate, and we need God.
Well, when in the Jesus Revolution, in that movie, it was, of course, now Terry was, I kept asking Terry because now Terry was on the East Coast in, where were y'all, at Jacksonville?
Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida, a little church there. What was the name of the church?
Terry? Beaches Chapel.
Beaches Chapel. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they was a whole lot different what was going on in California. About the same time, I asked Terry if they knew what was going on. It was a lot of the similarities of, I forget the people that came out of that little church, the Beaches Chapel, but A lot of preachers and different people came out of that move. Would you have called y'all's experience kind of a Jesus revolution moment, Terry? Or what was going on with y'all in Jacksonville?
I don't know. It was all a time that we were just caught up in. You know, it was a time where kind of like you were talking about, you just expected God no matter what. You know, yeah, I mean, you just,
that's right.
You know, we had Friday night meetings that, I mean, I look back at like in that movie, you see this little tiny little, you know, little chapel just packed.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly don't know how the floor survived at Beach's Chapel.
Really?
I mean, I honestly don't, because, you know, it was
packed.
It was rowdy.
What about that?
It was packed and rowdy.
What about that?
Yeah, and it was, you know, I mean, it was a time when you just expected, no matter what you did, mm-hmm. kind of like you're saying,
yeah,
you just expected God to show up.
He's gonna show up, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you preached on the beach, or you did baptism on the beach, or you did. You know, down on the boardwalk, or I had rededicated my life. I got saved when I was 8, but I, you know, had strayed. And then when I was 18, I came back to the Lord reading The Cross and the Switchblade.
Oh, yeah.
You know, well, then, we went out for several months and handed out tracts, because David Wilkerson was going to come and preach at the pavilion, at the Jacksonville pavilion. So, you know, we, in anticipation of that, we went out and witnessed to people and told them to be sure and come and see David Wilkerson. Just so happened that, I don't even know how this came about, somehow I was with the crowd that went and picked him up at the airport, him and Dallas Holm.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we brought him to the beach. And then, you know, he was up there at the Jacksonville Beach Pavilion, and he spoke. And I was upstairs up in the balcony, and I don't know how that happened, but I got to talking to this young sailor boy, you know, and that mm-hmm. was, you know, that was the thing. It was just whoever, I mean, it was young people. They were all hungry. Sailors were hungry.
Yeah.
Sailors
yeah.
were hungry.
What about that?
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Jacksonville Beach is right next to Mayport, which is, there's a big naval station there. And so I was talking to this boy, and I was talking to him about Jesus, and he had just listened to David Wilkerson, and you know, I mean, I'm just talking to him about Jesus, and he says, "Listen, you got to stop." He says, "You got to stop." He says, "Honestly, I'm going to throw myself off this balcony."
Mm.
He says, "If you don't stop, I'm going to throw myself off this balcony." So I stopped, you know. And then we talked some more, and it turns out he was going back to the base, and I was living with my mother and my stepdad on the base, and so he gave me a ride back mm-hmm. to the base on his motorcycle, and we pulled up into my folks' driveway, and we both got off the motorcycle and stood there talking. We're standing there in the driveway. And it's probably 2 o'clock in the morning. There's not another soul, so I know, on the base stirring. And I begin talking to him again, about just talking about Jesus, you mm-hmm. know. Well, I mean, he manifests this demon.
Wow.
I mean, this demon just manifests.
Wow.
You know? And so I said, "You come out in the name of Jesus." And he hits the pavement.
Wow.
He just falls down, falls out, you know. Well, I didn't know what to do. I just knelt down and put my hands on his chest, and I prayed, and Lord, I just pray you just fill him with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he starts shaking, and he gets this horrible look on his face, and he manifests another demon.
Oh, my goodness.
And I commanded this one out, and same thing. He collapsed. I just prayed again over him.
Yeah,
and this happened a couple of times. And then, you know, I cast another one out, and I pray on him,
and
he starts shaking again, and I get, you know, I cock like I'm ready, and I start listening, and he's praying in tongues.
What about that? What about that?
You know?
Wow.
Building with the Spirit of God.
You just, you know.
Ain't that something?
But now, where did you get this training?
Yeah, Terry.
Well, that was part of our underground stuff. At Asbury.
Okay, I thought there was more to that story.
This is part of what the dean met with you about that thing.
So you're saying you were certified?
I was pretty certified.
Well, and it also, I mean, it speaks to several points there. Number one, a hunger. People were gathering because they were hungry.
Hungry.
And that's what caused the Asbury thing. People got hungry.
They're hungry, yeah. We stumbled on that, if I could insert something here, Jeff. We stumbled on something today as we were talking about, okay, a church is dead, we're dead. To go through the experience that Terry just had with that young man, it's obvious that Terry was in a position of being filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit of God, to be in that situation. Mm-hmm. Terry himself was not dead. But today I was talking about, all right, if we're dead, how can we get hungry? And of course, the first thing is repentance. We know where we are, that we're dead. But the other thing is, back in the day, if you'll remember, Jeff, there was a lot of preachers would come our way, different leaders. They would be fallen for one reason or another. We'd pray for them. They'd repent. Then we'd stick them right in the pulpit somewhere. Because what we learned was, by the Holy Spirit flowing through you,
yeah,
it makes that was dead start coming alive.
Absolutely.
You start coming alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy.
And you just start coming. So the key to deadness is being poured out.
Mm-hmm.
To be poured out. Just go feed the poor, help somebody do something. Yeah. If you're dead, just start doing the works of Christ. Just start helping somebody do something.
That's right.
And as you pour yourself out, then the Holy Spirit will start rushing in.
Yeah.
And then that starts bringing a freshness, an aliveness, because we saw many, many being set free, putting them right back in ministry. And we got criticized tremendously because they said, well, you just put people back into ministry. Well, it's not like we didn't keep our eye on them heavy. Mm-hmm. We did. But there again, we were trying to get that flow of the Spirit again.
When we fall away, then we really feel like we're unworthy.
Yes.
You know, and so, so what we do is nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which makes us
more fallen away.
and more unworthy.
Yeah, that's right.
And so then we do nothing.
And then we do more nothing.
Then we do more nothing, that's and then we're more unworthy.
Yeah, that's true.
And then.
And it's that unworthiness, I think it keeps us down.
And that keeps us from, you know, from believing that God can use us and God will flow through us.
Well, if we repent, truly repentance, do you not think that the Lord doesn't say, all right, let's stand back up now. Let's walk and follow me.
And I think
the gift was repentance. I mean, Jeff was hard preaching. He was very open, but very hard preaching on repentance, because we knew true repentance was the only thing, the only way you can.
Hope.
And thank you for being with us, Terry.
Yeah, buddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, buddy.
Father, we thank you for your wonderful mercy and for your grace. We thank you for sustaining us, giving us life. Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself to us. And we know that there's nothing that you want more than to reveal yourself to us.
Jesus.
And
Jesus.
To show us
how Lord.
Wonderful you really are.
Thank you, Lord.
How much you really love us.
Thank
and
you,
we
Lord.
Just say, Lord, yes. Please
Yes,
please do.
Sweet Lord.
Amen.
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 All right.
That's good a good
show.
One.
We'll see
That's
you next
That's a good
week.
One.
Amen.
Thank you for joining today's Smith & Rowan Show. You can check out our website at kingdompropheticsociety.org and our daily unplugged podcast at smithandrowanshow.podbean.com. You can also join us on Amazon, Apple, or Spotify.